From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen, and here I am with my partner in crime via Skype, Mr. Randall Berger!
Hello! Welcome! How Alexander Graham Bell, will you come and help me, sir?
Come here, oh. I need you.
Oh, I love it when you, what a knee trembler you are. Do you know that when phones were first invented, they thought it would only be used for calling the doctor or listening to prayers?
Yeah, absolutely. So via Skype, as if we were Alexander Graham Bell and the suddenly kind of homosexual, come here, I need you. We're doing.
Well, actually, he'd spilled acid. In his crotch,
he spilled acid on his lap.
Ouch.
Ouch. So here it is, show 144, Randall.
What a milestone.
Well, it's just our next show, really.
Now that's spelled with an E, not a millstone. It's
not
a milestone.
Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, oh, what a week, Randy. I tell you, I mean, I used to at least respect Hillary Clinton, but she's wearing thin, baby.
Aren't they all?
We're going to start
except
on...
Bernie.
Absolutely.
And he's holding his cool.
Yes.
I would have thought he would lost it a long time ago, but he's holding his cool.
I don't know how he's doing it. But here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is our intro for our first part of the show, where we, of course, talk about Donald Trump losing by double digits in Wisconsin. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the intro.
What the single biggest lie.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward.
And now it's time for the Bill Show's Battle of the Assholes.
Is that what it sounds like to be attacked by assholes?
That is exactly how it sounds like when you're attacked by assholes.
The killer assholes. Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. Yeah, I should do all the music for this show.
Yeah, you should. This is our Battle of the Assholes, ladies and gentlemen. Evidently, Donald Trump lost the Wisconsin primary. Yes, he lost the Wisconsin primary. Not by a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, by double digits.
Yeah, five big digits stuck right up his ass.
Yeah, well, that's more or less true.
It's terrible. And the only reason Ted Cruz won...
He has such little hands.
Yeah, little hands. And the only reason Ted Cruz won is because Wisconsin is so close to Canada. Yeah. And it's all about the cheese.
Well, it's also kind of like that you have a choice for your blind date. Freddy Krueger or Jason from Friday the 13th.
And do you think, if you listen to Rachel... Do you think Ted Cruz is going to get caught with his dick in the nookie jar? Because he's been very bad.
The very idea of Ted Cruz actually having sex with anything scares the shit out of me.
Besides Heidi or Mrs. Palmer, yeah, that's for sure.
I'm sure it's like a cross-species kind of thing, you know? So, anyway, Donald Trump evidently took the bad news of his loss with the typical kind of nobility, grace, and grandeur that you'd expect.
I'm a loser!
From a true asshole. Yeah. This is the statement. By the way, he didn't do an actual audible statement. He actually did this via Twitter. Trump campaign statement. That's what it says. It says, Donald J. Trump has withstood the onslaught of the establishment yet again. Lion Ted Cruz had the governor of Wisconsin, many conservative talk show hosts, and the entire party apparatus behind him. Not only was he propelled by the anti-Trump super PACs, spending countless millions of dollars on false advertising against Mr. Trump, but he was coordinating his own super PACs, which is illegal. Who control him? Ted Cruz is worse than a puppet. He is a Trojan horse being used by the party bosses attempting to steal the nomination from Mr. Trump. And that nomination is his.
You reckon?
No, it's his. He has it. It's a special thing, and he hides it underneath his bed. We have total confidence that Mr. Trump will go on to win the New York, where he holds a substantial lead in all the polls. Mr. Trump is the only candidate who can secure delegates needed to win against Republican nominee and ultimately defeat Hillary Clinton or whomever the Democratic nominee is. Let's make America great again. That's class.
And he typed all of that himself straight into his phone because he has those little fingers. Yeah, you can actually touch type with little hands like that.
Do you know, I tell you something, I think Cruz is like one of the worst reptiles ever in American politics.
But he talks like that.
But watching Donald Trump getting beaten is just incredibly fun.
Wisconsin is sort of considered a landmark state, even though it's not hugely populated. It is considered a landmark state in the primary process, isn't it?
It is a landmark state in the primary process, yes.
Wow.
And this is, of course, a situation in which the entire other Republican Party has decided to go with Jason rather than Freddy. So they're basically...
With the Terminator instead of the Predator... Yeah, Ted Cruz is the Predator.
That's right. Like, it's like the worst blind date you've ever heard of. It's like...
Yeah, absolutely blind, yeah.
She's...
Blind drunk, yeah.
Yeah, no. So, listen, it is a terrible thing, and we happen to know exactly why Trump did so well in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, let's have a listen.
So Sarah Palin wandered out of her hotel room after taking lithium.
No, it wasn't lithium. Or it was something. A bottle of...
I don't know. I think she's starting...
It was a bottle of vodka.
Really, she's starting to remind me of a regional high school production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's like... I can imagine her like Liz Taylor,
wandering into the
event with a bottle of whiskey and a cigarette, and going,
"George, I want another drink."
That's
George.
Right. Where do you want me to stand?
Yeah, George, give me another drink.
So here it is, Sarah Palin being Donald Trump's secret weapon. Oh, God, a lost weekend. Here it is, Sarah.
Immigrants welcoming them in, even inducing and seducing them with gift baskets. Come on over the border and here's a gift basket of teddy bears and soccer balls. Our kids and our grandkids, they'll never know then what it is to be rewarded for that entrepreneurial spirit that God creates within us in order to work and to produce and to strive and to thrive and to really be alive. Wisconsin, Reagan saved the hog. Here, you're Harley Davidson. It was Reagan who saved that. In the establishment, maybe they're going to start a new hashtag movement, hashtag never Reagan. They don't like that.
Now, who can argue with that? Reverend! I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age.
I'll give them teddy bears. She's actually, if you listen to her,
yes,
she's like a 60s beat poet.
I know. There is
because she rhymes and she does internal rhymes.
Oh, yeah, there is a hidden kind of thing. There is a hidden kind of thing.
There's, yeah. And I don't know who she's channeling, but it's fucking weird.
It's like, what the fuck are you saying?
It's Ronald Reagan.
Oh, my God. Look,
he's got the Ray gun.
In the general election, let me say one thing, Randy. In the general election, the Republicans have forfeited the right to have any votes ever again by putting this person a heartbeat away from the presidency.
In 2008, for sure.
Yeah, man, I mean, what are you fucking saying? You're mad.
And for 7 years, she's been burning up media oxygen.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is with that?
I don't know, man. She looks like she's had a stroke. But anyway.
Well, apparently, since her husband's been in the hospital, she's had several strokes.
I think
that's one of the great mysteries. Yeah.
I don't know who it is. Yeah. I don't know what you're referring to. You just went off and I don't completely understand. All right. So anyway.
Well, the listeners
get it, which bothers me. Yeah, okay, ladies and gentlemen, but also, of course, you have the winner. Yes, I'm talking about, if Donald Trump is Freddy, then here's Jason. This is your friend and mine, the ever repulsive Ted Cruz.
Oh, no.
Tonight is a turning point. It is a rallying cry. It is a call from the hardworking men and women of Wisconsin to the people of America. We have a choice, a real choice. 3 weeks ago, the media said Wisconsin was a perfect state for Donald Trump. But the hardworking men and women of Wisconsin stood and campaigned tirelessly to make sure that tonight was a victory for every American.
Yes, tonight was a victory for every creepy-ass American you've avoided on public transport.
Oh, come here, little girl. You know what I wish? You know what I wish, Bill? I wish he wouldn't use the bloody preacher voice. He sounds like Steven Anderson from Buttfuck, Arizona. From all of those, yeah.
He is Steven Anderson from Buttfuck, Arizona.
He sounds like an evangelical or an evil evangelical preacher.
Well, he is. He is. He's absolutely a nut job. Just to remind you a little bit of exactly how nutty the current person being favored by the Republican establishment is.
You're not going to read a fruitcake recipe again, are you?
No. I'd just like to play for you one of the ads that Ted Cruz released early on in the primary. This is the Duck Dynasty ad.
Oh, the commander. This is our commander, yeah.
Ted Cruz going out hunting with his base. Here it is.
My qualifications for president of the United States are rather narrow. Is he or she godly? Does he or she love us? Can he or she do the job? And finally, would they kill a duck and put him in a pot and make him a good duck gumbo? I've looked at the candidates. Ted Cruz is my man. He fits the bill. He's godly. He loves us. He's the man for the job, and he will go duck hunting because today we're going. Ted Cruz is my man. I'm voting for him.
Cruz, the reason we're going to vote for you, all of us, is because you're one of us, my man. That's why we're voting for you. It's now or never.
Oh, and make me a good duck gumbo.
You're one of us.
We
love you.
You got candidate. Soft hands.
And, of course, the visuals of this ad.
Big hands.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He goes out and butchers.
He got to kill a duck.
And he's wearing camouflage.
And black
to fool the ducks.
And blackface, too.
And yeah, he's sitting there with his high-powered rifle with his goober. Oh, fuck me. Look, Samantha Bee actually nailed the whole, the absolute. Oh, yeah.
He sounds like
Ted Cruz.
You're just.
He sounds like
pickle.
A penguin from Batman.
Okay, this is Samantha Bee reminding us of what a fantastic guy Ted Cruz is.
Oh,
this is from
I need reminding. Thank you.
I love Samantha Bee. This is a cut she's released just for Ted, even though she's not on this week. Here it is, Samantha Bee from her show on TBS.
This week, reading all your angry tweets about how we're off this week. But we made you a present. Ted Cruz, Princeton's unwanted fetus, is enjoying a surge of popularity right now with literally several people saying they guess they'll vote for him if they have to. So we thought we'd fill you in on some lesser-known members of the Ted Cruz fan club, starting with a man we introduced you to previously, Colorado pastor and Robert Carradine understudy, Kevin Swanson.
Romans chapter 1, verse 32, the Apostle Paul does say that homosexuals are worthy of death. His words, not mine. Now, my friends, let me introduce to you Senator Ted Cruz.
Wow, for a guy who hates gay people, Swanson's got some fabulous dance moves. But the keeper of the Almighty's hit list also has something for the ladies.
We took a stand against the Girl Scouts. They're supporting lesbianism. Jesus Christ. He said it in no uncertain terms, if somebody offends one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. The mafia treatment.
It's in the Gospel of Tony, wherein Jesus taketh that whore Adriana unto the woods and whacketh her. When Swanson is in doubt, which is never, he just checks his bracelet. Who would Jesus drown? But my favorite thing about Kevin Swanson is that he's come up with a great new campaign slogan for the Cruz campaign.
Don't you dare carve happy faces on open pussy sores.
Open pussy sores. His words, not mine. You know, it sounds good when it's spoken, but it's even better in print. To TedCruz.org, plenty of other faith leaders have also come out of the Cruz closet to endorse Ted, like Reverend Flip Benham, a minister, convicted stalker, and zazzled t-shirt customizer you may recognize from his appearances on the news.
Christian protesters confronting worshipers outside a mosque, screaming, among other things, Jesus hates Muslims, and calling the children murderers.
In your face, Donald Trump, Cruz supporters hated Muslims before it was cool. But it's not fair to dismiss Flip as just a hateful, ranting Islamophobe. He's also a hateful, ranting homophobe.
It's the most violent community there is. It's the homosexual community. They want you dead.
Amen.
Oh, the homosexual community is so violent. You should see the barbaric images of them that I find online and secretly masturbate to while my wife is sleeping. The next float in Ted Cruz's nightmare parade belongs to Pastor Mike Bickle, who has some poorly chosen words about God's chosen people.
These less than 20 million Jews worldwide, the Lord says, I'm going to give all 20 million of them the chance to respond to the fishermen. Then if they don't respond to grace, I'm going to raise up the hunters. And the most famous hunter in recent history is a man named Adolf Hitler.
Always get this dog whistle stuff, but I think he's defending your Second Amendment right to hunt Jews, making Jews all over the world ask,
why am I persecuted?
And by the way, when Democrats start calling for the execution of gays and Muslims, I promise I will hit them just as hard. Thanks for watching, and until next time, remember,
don't you dare carve happy faces on open pussy sores.
So he's basically Jason from Friday the 13th.
I love that. I love her. She's terrific. A woman after my own heart.
She's fantastic, ladies and gentlemen, but also reminding us exactly how crazy the Republicans are. We've had a bundle of delights when it comes to Battle of the Assholes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, there is now a similar battle going on in New York State.
Exactly.
Between two eminently kind of reasonable people, and this is our intro for that.
Now it's time for Hillary Clinton's Panic in Manhattan.
Yes, Randy, it is the battle between Hillary and Bernie. And it got nasty this week. Did you hear about it?
I thought they were I thought they were good friends, you know, former senators and all that sort of stuff. She's really getting catty, isn't she?
Oh, well, someone's nervous.
You were there counting the bodies at Sandy Hook and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. You know, I'll tell you, man, this has really kind of put me off. The New York Daily News. As soon as Wisconsin happened, the New York Daily News ran an absolute smear job on Bernie Sanders. It roots from the idea that he bungled his interview with the editorial board of the New York Daily News. Hillary Clinton sent a transcript of the interview to supporters as a fundraising push. However, it's being spun as if Bernie Sanders doesn't know how to break up the banks, which is absolutely wrong. I invite any one of you to go to the New York Daily News site, look up the interview, and listen to it. Because it's not true.
He can break it up with Dodd-Frank.
Absolutely. He can. He can. And absolutely. And this, of course, is what the Daily News ran this thing that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And now they're hooking him to Sandy Hook. This is the most desperate.
I just can't work that out. Is it because from Vermont, he's not anti-gun because Vermont is a hunting state.
Yeah.
But yet he is NRA's worst nightmare.
Oh, it is absolutely. He's got a D- from the NRA. But if you look at the banking stuff, listen, three economists, as well as a very, very astute post in the New York Times, talked a little bit about. It was in the Huffington Post. Talks a little bit about the fact that. They made it sound as if he didn't know how to break up the banks. Well, basically, he said during the interview, there are three ways you can break up the banks. You can pass legislation, which put forth legislation just the other day to break up the banks. So you can do it in legislation.
I read that,
You can do it through the Dodd-Frank Act, and you can also do it through the administration. His answer was absolutely correct.
And he could also do executive actions. Yes.
Absolutely. And what the Daily News did was they actually screwed up when they were talking about the differentiation in power between the administration, the Fed, and the Treasury Department. This is very technical, but what they're doing is they're spinning that he doesn't know how to do it. Of course he knows how to do it. So this is an absolute hit piece by the Daily News. If you look at, and then of course, I was kind of sitting there thinking, why would the Daily News suddenly be doing a hit piece on Bernie Sanders relating to Sandy Hook bank victims and the inability to break up the banks? Guess what, Randy?
Hillary Clinton's just been added to the board of the New York Daily News?
No, but the New York Daily News sure does know Hillary Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, with our theme for the well-connected Hillary Clinton, money, money, money. Thank you. Thank you very much. The sounds of ABBA. Clinton Foundation.
Money makes the world go round.
The world go round.
Go round.
Politico has run this. He ran it on. They ran it last year, and it basically is an analysis of the foundation donors for the Clinton Foundation. Guess who's one of the top donors of the Clinton Foundation?
Rupert Murdoch.
Yes.
And
let me list you some of the fantastic donors that this.
What's in the Daily News? This fighter, tell you what's in the Daily News?
Yeah, the fighter for the people. These are some of the people that are donating to her foundation. James Murdoch. That's right, Murdoch.
Yeah.
Newsmax Media, the owner of Reuters News Services.
Yeah.
The News Corporation, which is the philanthropic arm of Fox News.
Which News Corp is, of course, the family company of Rupert Murdoch,
former CBS News and Sony's executives, and George Stephanopoulos, who, by the way, when they were talking about doing the New York debate, the Clinton people wanted George Stephanopoulos to host it. George Stephanopoulos donated between $75,000 and $100,000 to Clinton's own foundation, and they wanted him to host the fucking debate.
He bought the chair of the debate.
Oh,
yes.
But hey,
that's legitimate.
But hey, listen, this is true. Top donors of the Clinton Foundation, owner of the New York Daily News, Mort Zuckerman.
What's in the Daily News?
Well, I'll
tell you what's in the Daily News.
I guess Hillary is making some calls, because this is bullshit. This is absolute bullshit. Mort Zuckerman, who has donated between $50,000 and $100,000 to the Clinton campaign and CEO of the Daily News, has run a hit piece on Bernie Sanders in New York. I'm so surprised.
Will wonders never cease.
But the worst thing, of course, is when Clinton came out texting this. That Bernie Sanders, he, would place gun manufacturers' rights and immunity from liability against parents of children killed at Sandy Hook is just unimaginable to me. Said Clinton, who has long sought to highlight the candidate's difference on guns.
He wasn't saying that about Sandy Hook. He was saying that gun manufacturers cannot be held liable for the deaths caused by their product any more than car manufacturers can be, unless something's absolutely wrong with them.
That's right. Well, it is like the
Corvair.
That is.
Or the Pinto.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was just basically holding up that principle. There's nothing wrong with that.
You have a lot of people in Vermont who are small shop owners who sell guns.
Yeah.
They sell guns legally. You know what Bernie's for? In the Daily News ad, Bernie's for eradicating every type of gun that was used in the Sandy Hook massacre.
Yes.
He's against
Ronald Reagan.
He gets a D minus from the NRA. Okay?
Yeah.
And basically what this is really despicable. The Clinton family, the Clinton campaign then got on the phone and organized a phone call for reporters with elected officials and gun control advocates, including Jillian Soto, whose sister was a teacher killed at Sandy Hook, called Sanders' comments offensive. He doesn't know the pain my family has been going through since December 14th. And basically getting her to ask Sanders to fucking apologize to Sandy Hook victims. This is the most disgusting, vile, bullshit political ploy. This is awful. To link Bernie Sanders, a decent and honest man who is stuck up for you, with the deaths of children, to say that he is insensitive to the deaths of children, I am absolutely, listen, this is just insane.
Hey, have you given up on her?
She's about that far. Because my first words out of my mouth when I heard this is fuck off. Fuck off and Hillary. Fuck you, Hillary. That is bad.
But you know, St. Ronnie was against assault weapons.
Of course he was.
A lot of people have tried to take them off the table. That's 1981.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's 81.
And let me just read this. It's backfiring on her even now. She's been backpedaling it from it. Immediately, the comment thread for that tweet was full of angry Sanders supporters. And get this, even Clinton supporters were disgusted, calling out the former Secretary of State for her insensitivity towards Sandy Hook victims. One Sanders supporter who had apparently been trying to convince her parents to switch their support. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just moaning.
Oh, sorry, I was
groaning.
No, I was reaching across.
Yeah.
I was reaching across the mic to do something.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were dying of a heart attack there. Look, one Sanders supporter who had apparently been trying to convince her parents to switch their support from Clinton to the Vermont senator said the Sandy Hook tweet was what put them over the edge. I refuse to vote for her no matter what happens. My mother is disgusted by this and switched to Bernie today. So glad.
Wow.
Basically, Clinton people leaving tweets that said, don't do this. Run your best campaign. Russell Iden Watt, who basically is a relative of a Sandy Hook child who died, posted this on Facebook. He said, Secretary Clinton, please do not use my cousin for your political agenda and stop smearing Bernie Sanders. Other Twitter users... Fuck you, Hillary. Other Twitter users pointed out the hypocrisy of Clinton's outspoken pro-gun stance, as Clinton has long has a record of selling hundreds of billions of dollars worth of American weapons to repressive governments in the Middle East. On Iraqi Twitter user brought up a quote from Hillary's private server emails in which the Secretary of State refers to the war in Iraq as a business opportunity for corporate interests. So I thought I'd check out. Who's the number one gun seller, ladies and gentlemen? Who's the number one guy who receives money from defense contractors? Of all the presidential candidates out there on the road right now, guess who's number one?
I don't know.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
She gets money from gun sales?
She gets the most money from gun sales from the defense industry than even Ted Cruz. She has received so far $206,544 from defense contractors. In 2011... This is from Mother Jones. It's not an irrational little site. In 2011, the State Department cleared an enormous arms deal led by Boeing, a consortium of American defense contractors that would deliver $29 billion worth of advanced fighter jets to Saudi Arabia, despite concerns over the kingdom's troublesome human rights record. The Saudi transaction... But get this. In the years before Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, Saudi Arabia contributed $10 million to the Clinton Foundation. Just 2 months before the jet deal was finalized, Boeing donated $900,000 to the Clinton Foundation, according to the International Business Times. The Saudi transaction is just one example of nations and companies that have donated to the Clinton Foundation seeing an increase in arms deals while Hillary Clinton oversaw the State Department. IBD found that between 2010 and September 2012, the Clinton State Department approved $165 billion in commercial arms sales to 20 nations that had donated to the foundation, plus another $151 billion worth of Pentagon-brokered arms deals to 16 of those countries, a 143% increase over the Bush administration. The sales boosted the military power of authoritarian regimes like Qatar, Algeria, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, and Oman, like Saudi Arabia, has been criticized in the Department of Human Rights. You want to fucking talk about guns killing people, Hillary? Yeah, let's have a nice little talk. In all, governments and corporations involved in arms deals approved by the Clinton State Department have delivered, wait for it, ladies and gentlemen, between 54 million and 140 million to the Clinton Foundation, as well as hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments to the Clinton family personally, according to the Foundation and State Department records.
So who's their bag man? Who's that?
It's all legal. But what I'm saying is these guys are not donating to the Clinton Foundation because they finally got religion. They are donating to the Clinton Foundation so they have access to Hillary Clinton.
Yep, that's right.
And if you want to talk about supporting guns, Hillary, I'm free and easy to have that conversation. You just try to explain to me why defense contractors love you the most and why you're taking millions of dollars in contributions from your to your foundation only months before you approve defense contracts to a despotic government in Saudi Arabia. You want to talk about that? Let's talk about that. You want to play hardball, Hillary? Fine. We'll play hardball. Because you are stupid. You are absolutely stupid. You are absolutely sabotaging your chance.
She was being mean to that poor old man.
It's not only mean, it's stupid. Because if you're going to unify this party, you got to leave people not wanting to hate you. Let's have another thing. The Panama Free Trade Deal. Now, by the way, the Panama Free Trade Deal is released very close to what is the Panama Papers that were just released recently. Now, this is an absolutely exploding story, and it's not going to look good for Hillary. Here's the deal.
Not a bit.
Here's the deal. These papers were released by a whistleblower, and they gave basically the clients of people who were stowing their money in Panama to avoid taxes. This is as a result of the Panama Free Trade Agreement. I'd like you to listen to what Bernie Sanders had to say about the Panama Free Trade Agreement. Listen to this.
Let me say a word about the Panama Free Trade Agreement. Now, Panama is a very small country. Its entire annual economic output is only $26.7 billion a year, or about 0.2% of the American economy. So I think no one is going to legitimately stand up here and say that trading with such a small country is going to significantly increase American jobs. Then why would we? Why would we be considering a trade agreement with Panama? What's going on there? Well, it turns out, Mr. President, that Panama is a world leader when it comes to allowing wealthy Americans and large corporations to evade U.S. taxes by stashing their cash in offshore tax havens. And the Panama Free Trade Agreement would make this bad situation much worse.
So that's a clip from years ago when the Panama Free Trade Agreement was to be passed.
Yes.
That was the, now, guess who supported the...
Always a man ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Guess who supported the Panama Free Trade Agreement?
Can I have some thinking music, please? I'd say Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, you'd be right. Here's that clip right now.
One of our top goals is to complete free trade agreements with Colombia and Panama. Today, I'm happy to report we are making great progress on both agreements.
Oh, we could get free cocaine.
Well, I don't know about that, but all I know is Hillary kind of likes those free trade agreements that allow billionaires and millionaires and all those people to tuck their money away into a little bank account that no one can see. This is from The Observer, where the problem for Hillary gets really, really big. Revelations of the so-called Panama Papers that are roiling the world's political and financial elites this week include important facts about dun-dun-dun, Team Clinton. The unprecedented...
Oh, you do your own... Look, Bill, the fix-it and post-orchestra is going to get really pissed off if you do that again.
This unprecedented trove of documents purloined from a shady Panama law firm that arranged tax havens and perhaps money laundering for... was involved in money laundering for the globe's super rich includes juicy insights into how Russia's elite hides its ill-gotten wealth. Almost lost among many revelations is the fact that Russia's biggest bank uses the Podesta Group as its lobbyist in Washington, D.C. Though hardly a household name, this firm is well known inside the Beltway, not least because its CEO is Tony Podesta, one of the best One of the best connected Democratic marchers in the country, he founded the firm in 1998 with his brother John, formerly chief of staff to the president Bill Clinton, then counselor to President Barack Obama. Mr. Podesta is the very definition of a Democratic insider. Outsiders engage the Podestas and their well-connected lobbying firm to improve their image, and no one needs an image improved better than Sberbank. Sberbank is Russia's largest financial institution. As reported at the end of March, financial institution. As reported at the end of March, the Podesta Group registered with the U.S. government as a lobbyist for the bank, as required by law, naming three Podesta Group staffers, Tony Podesta being one of them. It should be noted that Tony Podesta is a big money bundler for Hillary Clinton. Among the Sberbank subsidiaries that the Podesta Group also represents are the Cayman Islands-based Troika Dialogue Group Limited. Now, the long and short of this... going in too much into the brush, is the fact that Clinton's campaign manager is representing the state-owned bank that Vladimir Putin uses to funnel his cash. Now, since the brothers Podesta are presumably destined for a high level in the White House jobs in next January, if Democrats triumph in November at their polls, their relationship with Sberbank is something they and Hillary Clinton needs to explain to the public. No fucking shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Why is it that you are sitting there saying that you're a progressive and you're really working for the people when basically on your staff is a guy who represents a bank that funnels money for Vladimir Putin? Why is it that when Bernie was talking out against these tax havens that shelter billions of dollars from tax that is otherwise paid by normal working stiffs, you know, the guys you like to say are your people, why is it that you supported a free trade agreement with Panama so that this place could exist? Tell us that, Hillary, really. This is absolutely... These are two things that are sitting in Hillary's closet. They have been there, and I'll tell you something. She's got a lot more trash out there than Bernie. And her,
Bill, you have given that lady a serve today.
Well, she deserves it because basically, listen. Here's the long and the short of it. I'm going to make it short and sweet. I do not believe Hillary Clinton would be necessarily the worst president in the world. She would be acres better than any of the two fucking drugged humanoids that are on the other side. But I think that Hillary Clinton, if she wants to get dirty with Bernie Sanders, better watch her step.
Yeah.
Just watch your step, pal.
She's got a lot of skeletons in the closet. Have you found any skeletons for Bernie?
No. In fact, this is a clip of what Bernie did for Hillary early in the campaign.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
So let's not forget, Randy, who the decent guy is in this fucking
thing.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember when he did that. And I thought, good on you.
Oh, well, no, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, let's not forget from the beginning, this guy has run an uncommonly decent campaign. And
absolutely.
The idea... When we've criticized Hillary, it's been about her record, okay? And this is what Hillary said about the record. I got to include this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what Hillary said when we attack her record.
I feel sorry sometimes for the young people who, you know, believe this. Right. They don't do their own research.
Yeah, it's a shame no one could do research, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel sorry for those people who don't do their research, Hillary. You know? Fuck you.
But you know,
William,
she's really wrong because young people who do their research.
Yeah.
As you can see for that clip I provided you from The Buzz, young people are turning more and more to Bernie Sanders.
Well, the longer he's out there, the more support he gets. And the fact is, you don't have to go dirty. You know, I mean, really, the math alone is that Hillary will probably be nominated. You don't have to go dirty. You don't have to lie. You don't have to try to pin the murder of children on a decent man. It is just unbelievable. I just find her conduct disgusting.
Yes.
It's disgusting. And you know what? As we found out, a lot of people are being turned off. It's going back
and
on.
Tell me, Bill. What sort of advice do you think Bill Clinton would give his wife?
I'd say, Hillary, calm down. Calm down, Hillary. You know, it's okay.
You're not going to buy. Yeah, I can't catch you, can I?
Well, listen, that I have taken way too long.
No, you have been. Look whose name is on the label, for goodness sake.
That's right, but it's you and me, pal. So, listen, we're going to go away for a comedy bit, and then we're going to come back with one of my favorite other piece of this broadcast, which is, of course, Randy's Rant.
It is, except we've got a different thing today.
What do you got?
We're doing Randy's Looney Tunes. Because
Randy's Looney Tunes.
I can't get angry at people who are just stupid.
I can. Okay, listen, we'll be back. We'll be back in just one minute.
Ask Hillary what she thinks.
Educate, syncopate, radio communicate, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
Our next issue, agriculture, very important to the United States. Canada's both of you have very strong roots in the world of farming. Senator Sanders, you've lived near farms, both in Vermont and before cities were invented. Donald, you've been raising an animal on your scalp for several decades, which I believe technically counts as the livestock industry, proving just how important agriculture is to the American people. This image from Ruthless Relic was at the top of Reddit. It shows a chicken crossing a road right there. Now, judging by this chicken's blatant disregard for others, and also his coloring, I'm guessing a Trump supporter. Candidates, why did this chicken cross the road? Let's start with you, Mr. Trump.
Well, I want to say something very important, okay, Chuck? And I want to tell you this, very important, very, very important. I've been to this intersection. This is right on the border, okay? And that's, I am telling you, that's an immigrant chicken. I'm telling you right now. And there are many Mexican chickens. I've been to Mexico. I've seen the chickens. We've got to find out if this is a rapist chicken or a murderer chicken. And I promise you this. We are going to build an incredible coop. An incredible coop along the southern border. I guarantee you that.
All right, points. Senator Sanders.
Look, Chris, I think it's important to understand that I was made aware of this story, and I immediately went down to have a listening tour. And I sat down with the chickens. And I heard their concerns, and I talked to relatives, family members of this particular chicken, and it turns out he crossed the road to draw attention to the crumbling infrastructure the chickens have to face every day of their lives. A middle-class chicken is not able to raise the same number of eggs that they were 40 years ago. Their coops are in disrepair, and if I am president, I promise that I will spend billions of dollars on chicken wire. They deserve better, just like human beings.
All right, thank you, Senator Sanders, points for that.
Unbelievable.
We have another, Mr. Trump, you're saying unbelievable?
Just unbelievable. We should wipe them all out and use their eggs just like women.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, usually it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle, but now it's Cartoon Land, ladies and gentlemen, for Looney Tunes at the primaries. It's Uncle Randy.
It's Looney Tunes time. There have been some Looney Tunes. Look, Bill, I have to say, I cannot rant at stupid people.
Oh, I can.
Oh, well, people that do stupid things. But these people are just nuts. Like Sarah Palin with a severe case of vodka mouth.
Oh,
stuff like that.
For sure.
So I've got three people, which I see, or three groups, which I see as being total Looney Tunes this week. So
this week, Looney Tunes.
This
okay.
week, it's Looney Tunes. I'm not mad as hell, and I can take it. I can take it some more. But for now, this is Looney Tunes time. Number one. In Wisconsin, we have what's known as a TTS, a typical Trump supporter. She was captured by a roving TYT reporter, Jordan Carrington. And this is his interview with her.
Oh, my. This should be intellectual. Here it is from TYT, a Trump supporter in Wisconsin this week.
You've actually been around the Midwest, apparently, for Donald Trump. This isn't your first event. What's your favorite policy of his?
I really don't have a favorite policy, but I really like Donald Trump because he is a U.S. citizen and he is an entrepreneur, and what he says is what he's going to do.
You led with he's a U.S. citizen, so I'm assuming that means you think the current president isn't a U.S. citizen?
You know what? No comment on that.
Okay. Well, it's just kind of an odd to lead with that, but I'll let that go. Now, you said you think he's going to, kind of get things done and this and that because of his business record?
Yes, definitely. He's built many hotels, and what he says is he's going to do it, and he gets the right people, the correct people, and I don't know about you, but I've been into his Miami golf course, which was very beautiful, classy, elegant, amazing. And also the Donald Trump in Chicago building. And it's just amazing what he can build and the structure and who he hires to just make such an incredible building.
But there's got to be at least like one policy of his that kind of drew you in. I would hope. Because he gets criticized that he's not specific about what he's going to do.
Well, if he's not specific on what he wants to do, it's you're a businessman and you don't give away your ideas because you don't want other people to take your ideas.
But you're trying to convince people to vote for you to become president, so don't you need to give them something to go on?
Yes, I think he does pretty good. What he says is what he's going to do, and I trust him 100%. I don't have a problem.
Okay. So, third time's a charm? No policy? Just Trump?
Just Trump.
No, he shouldn't tell us his ideas.
Yeah,
no. That would be telling.
I've seen it. I've been on his golf course. That's absolute qualifications for being.
Oh,
it was
fuck.
Designed by Arnold Palmer.
Oh,
and
fuck.
Trump doesn't even play golf, does he?
Oh, listen, I have a message for you, Hillary. For fuck's sake, I'm going to have to vote for you. So stop it. Stop the bullshit, really. Seriously. You're making me hate you, but every time I listen to these guys, it's driving me crazy, okay?
Well, you ain't heard nothing yet.
Oh,
you ain't heard nothing
Jesus,
yet. You ready for another
lobotomization is a really terrible habit in America.
Yeah. All right. Well,
especially with the florists.
Where
you know, with the florists.
Well, have you ever seen Little Shop of Horrors? Well,
yes, that's right.
this is it. That,
what
her
else,
name,
what else
her
you,
name
what,
was Audrey. Her name
what
was
else
Audrey.
You got, Randy?
Okay. Well, now we've got another plant, Ann Coulter. Your friend and mine, that tall, skinny.
Okay, this is like one large tinfoil hat today. Okay,
it is.
What do we got from
Ann Coulter,
that
chicken neck blonde, who's come out for Trump? Now this is a clip from MSNBC, only a short one, but she puts both feet in it right up to the hips.
Okay, Ann Coulter putting her feet into something that she usually puts it in. Her mouth,
yeah.
Yeah, all right. So here's Werner von Braun's niece, Ava. See, right? The little Nazi blonde right here on the Bill Show.
And as for your question on abortion, I mean, I know that's a big thing for you. I've been pro-life since high school and talking and writing about it. I've never thought about that. It's not the job of the president. It's the job, I mean, if Donald Trump were running for state legislature in the year 2060, after Roe v. Wade is overturned and happens to be in a state that's going to pass those laws, that's a relevant question. But to be upset about that, I mean, I think I'd be more upset that women are going to need a lot more abortions if we don't close our border with Mexico and bring in all of Latin American rape culture.
I've got a real, I've got one thing to say to this ongoing segment. Vote Hillary 216.
Or Bernie.
Or Bernie. You vote
for
Bernie.
Or anybody.
But you're making
else.
It very difficult for me to do the right thing here, because this is a Trump supporter. Admit it. she's a sociopath and a complete liar. But yeah. Ann Coulter is railing about Latin American rape culture.
Well, she's lost, and all of American women having abortions because they're going to be raped by Mexicans.
Yeah.
So she's immediately alienating the Latin culture and the female culture.
The swarthy mandingos from over the border are going to rape our women.
Oh, no, they'd be swarthy ponchos and ciscos.
Yeah, I know. This is like Mandingo.
Mandingo's a different culture, anyway.
Well, no, what I'm saying is
that's George Wallace's campaign.
Well, it is George Wallace's, because this is the ancient Republican campaign that goes back to like the Civil War, that the black people are going to rape our women, but they've just decided to do it by making Mexicans the black people now.
Yeah.
But I got to say something, Randy. You know something? The Mexicans love me.
Yeah, the Mexicans love me. But they go and they clean my pool and they clip my garden. You know, Marco Rubio, when he loses, and he's a loser, I'm going to get him to trim my hedge and trim Mariana's hedge, you know?
Yeah. Latino,
she's got
Latino,
a little hedge.
Latino voters love me for obvious reasons. Listen, Donald. Unless this relationship is based on some sort of battered wife syndrome, I don't think they love you.
Well, he's got Sarah batting for him and Coulter batting for him. What's with this? What's his wife's name? Marinara. Marianas.
Yeah.
And she's coming out and saying, he's with selling her watches and naked on the jet. I don't know what's going on.
To mention the creepy way he talks about his daughter, which is just like
Ivanka.
No, he's got a daughter as a fashion model. He's constantly talking like he wants to bone her. You know, I mean, it's just disgusting.
Her name is Ivanka.
Yeah, she's got a great figure. Look at my daughter. What a wreck. A fucking wreck she has. Hey,
first,
look at that. You know,
if I
wasn't married, Randy, I would fuck her.
God,
he's
a creep. Ivanka. Ivanka is his daughter's name. Ivana was his first wife. And his second wife, which we haven't heard from or seen, was not an immigrant, Marla Maples.
Yeah.
She's a Broadway singer and star. And a very talented woman, but we haven't seen her.
That's because all Trump wives, when they reach the age of 45, are taken by bus to a place in New Jersey where they then can be eliminated. So it's
Soylent Green is people.
They are turned into Soylent Green.
They get fed into the Soylent Green machine.
I'm sorry, honey. You're 45.
Yeah.
Now you're Soylent Green.
He's 69.
Of course he is.
People.
And he selects wives the way you and I would select a couch.
Richard Burton collected wives like you'd collect.
Well,
a
Richard
couch,
Burton was a man of passion who married the same person twice. Donald Trump literally goes through the internet or basically sits in a catalog. I have him sitting on a sofa looking through a catalog going, I'll take that one.
Yeah,
I like the rack on her.
Yeah. We want more Eastern European immigrants because they're beautiful.
They love me. They love me.
You know, his sons who are just getting the worst treatment on social media.
That's because they're little assholes that spend their
very tall, blonde
spare time shooting wild animals for fun.
Yeah.
But listen, hey, what's the next one?
Oh, you're going to love this. You know, we lost dear Antonin Scalia.
I'm very sad about that.
The conservative member of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And as a tribute to him, they decided to name a law school after him.
Really?
Which I think is a really, really nice thing. Yeah. Was it George Mason University? Neither of the universities that he attended want to name a law school after him, which was Harvard and one of the others.
Maybe Trump University could.
Oh, you know? You mean,
Trump University
you.
Definitely could.
Trump University, isn't it? Fuck you.
And yeah,
they only teach real estate. Anyway, so this university named a law school after him, and I think it only lasted a day before somebody said, hey, do you know what that spells? Play the clip.
Here's the clip. Here's the clip.
The plan to name George Mason University's law school after deceased Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia hit a small bump after poor planning resulted in a not suitable for work acronym. The decision to rename the school the Antonin Scalia School of Law was announced last week after the school received an anonymous donation of $30 million. A problem arose, though, when users on social media figured out that the acronym had an awkward phrasing. School administrators quickly realized the gaffe and changed it to the Antonin Scalia Law School.
Asshole!
If there's not your law degree on the wall says asshole.
Asshole you!
Oh dear! And now it spells anusol or something. Anusol.
Oh man, that's fucking hilarious.
Anyway,
I had never heard that.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that.
It was only a couple of days ago, but it is very funny.
Asshole you!
Now that little clip was from Watch It News.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that
I'm
was
sorry.
From
Go ahead.
Sorry, that little clip was from Watch It News.
Okay.
Which is an a YouTube news channel.
But God. Randy, that is priceless.
That's Randy's Looney Tunes.
Priceless.
That's Randy's Looney Tunes.
Oh, Randy, thank you for sharing.
Overture, curtain up. This is it, the night of nights, and all what heights will hit.
On with the show, this is it. Thank you.
Is there
anything else that you got for me? Because that was fucking brilliant.
No, I'll end on a high one. Yeah, that was
okay.
It.
We'll end on that one, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as if to be redundant.
No!
Because we are.
We are not.
Well, Randy's rant was tinfoil hats. But ladies and gentlemen, no, there's more.
There's more. You thought you'd get away without having an aluminium chapeau.
Now there it is. Yeah. There's more, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to be back with show 144's real tinfoil hats in just 1 minute.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Speaking of deep shame, the 2016 election. Last night, the people of Wisconsin rejected the front runners. On the Democratic side, the winner was, and just hold on, let me brace myself for your reaction, Bernie Sanders. I'll keep these handy in case there's a story about One Direction reuniting to give out free pot. And last night, Bernie fired up the crowd with his victory speech.
I think the people of this country are ready for a political revolution. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can steal slogans from Barack Obama. Unless that actually is Barack Obama and he's aged even more than I thought. But the big news last night was on the Republican side, Ted Cruz won. It was a huge upset because even if you voted for Ted Cruz, you're still pretty upset about it. Of course, the even bigger news is that Donald Trump lost. Analysts say Trump lost because of things he said and done. Also, and this is just as important, things he hasn't said. Many people out there complain that Trump, you know, tends to talk big, but he never comes up with any specific proposals. Well, on Monday, Trump put that criticism to bed by finally giving Republican voters concrete examples of government agencies he would eliminate.
Would you eliminate any departments?
Oh, absolutely. Department of Environmental. I mean, the DEP is killing us environmentally. It's just killing our businesses.
Yes, absolutely. Trump promised to kill the wasteful Department of Environmental, the DEP. Even the abbreviation is wasteful because that P does not stand for anything. Now, we looked it up. And the Department of Environmental does not exist. Meaning, Trump is either talking out of his ass, or he's already eliminated it. That's very impressive. And you know, if that's the case, it's just a matter of time before Trump eliminates all the other wasteful departments we don't need because they don't exist. Big government programs like the Federal Bureau of Moneying, the Department for the Farms, the Bureau of Birds and Foxes, the Environmental Erection Agency, the U.S. Steak Department, the Department of the Interior, the U.S. Ghost Guard, the Department of Justins, the United States Mint Chocolate Chip, and the Department of Health and Human Centipedes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that song again. It's the time for us to play the news and commentary from the election scene that hurts our own heads because we hate our own heads. It is our tinfoil hat segment today, which has been a kind of continuous tinfoil hat, I think.
Yeah, whole election is just one giant tinfoil hat in the sky.
It is. You have a rather interesting one.
Oh,
that
yes.
I think is just fantastic. Tell us
okay,
about it.
Okay, Wayne Allen Root, Root by name and Root by nature, from the
yes.
from the QAN network, has this amazing claim, and it makes so much sense.
That, oh, what is the claim?
Republicans are gentle people. And that all of this violence, especially at Trump rallies, yes. is caused by Sanders supporters. This man is like living Jekyll and Hyde. You watch his speeches and your inner beast comes out.
My inner beast just comes out listening to
and,
it.
And you just want to get so violent. And you just want to go after all these gentle, lovely tattooed neo-Nazis, you just want to go after them.
Yeah, when I hear a Bernie Sanders speech, man, I don't want to sing a folk song. I want to go to war. That's because Bernie Sanders is a warmongering, violent
absolutely.
Madman.
Kumbaya, motherfucker.
Kumbaya, motherfucker. And so here he is, Wayne Allen Root, explaining why those bunch of people on the Sanders demonstrators are on welfare and they're initially violent.
Awful violent people.
Awful people. Here it is, Wayne Allen Root, right here on our tinfoil hats for 144.
It's not the Trump people that are vicious. We're only trying to defend ourselves. It is the Sanders and the liberal crowd that's vicious. And I'll tell you why, because you show me a conservative, I'll show you someone like me who owns businesses, owns a home, has a wife, has a family, I have four kids, lots of things to protect. I would never purposely hurt anyone because I couldn't afford the lawsuit or go to prison. But the liberal crowd, they're all on welfare. They don't own a home. They rent. They don't own a business. They have nothing to protect. They get arrested. They're out tomorrow. They don't care. It's not the right that's ever violent. That's an absolutely ludicrous storyline.
Yes, Root by nature, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know the problem is? It's all those welfare people of the Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Welfare.
Those liberal people. They got to get on their meds, those liberal people.
Yeah,
they're
liberals,
really
not
too,
like
they're
us. Too, we spend our time.
They go to anger management. They go to anger management and tell each other to fuck off.
Yeah, we spend our time sucker punching black guys and lusting after our own daughters. We're not that crazy.
I'm going to start learning Latin American rape culture.
Oh, Christ, man. Okay, that was fantastic. But why go to the store to get the milk? Well, you can go to the cow, and I'll explain that, because Donald Trump has a rather good history of really not giving shit about women. Remember that reporter from Breitbart that was roughed up and literally showed the bruises
by I thought it was
by
a Sanders reporter, but it was actually his campaign
Corey
manager,
Lewandowski. So
but it could have been a Sanders supporter.
Or it could have been one of those Sanders supporters. I heard some folk singing, so you never know. But
Kumbaya, motherfucker.
But listen. This,
Val's going to get angry for us swearing. We got to stop swearing.
Oh, yeah, whatever. But the thing is that Trump not only defended it, but rumored that the woman had faked the bruises that she put on the internet to embarrass him. Ladies and gentlemen.
Photoshop.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, women love me. I love women. I love women a lot.
Yeah, I love women. Especially if they got big plastic tits.
Yeah, that's right. It's.
I'm going to get my fourth wife to put squeaky toys in there. So when I squeeze them, they go.
Here's the defender of women, Donald Trump, explaining why if you get assaulted at a Trump convention, hey, you know, calm down. What are you going through?
Yeah, I'll pay your court costs.
What is it, that
I'll
time of the month, honey? Slow down. Yeah. Just calm down. You got roughed up a bit. What are you going to do?
I looked at the tape. There's not even a change of expression on her face. And then I looked at internet, and you take a look at the tweets, and people are saying, you got to be kidding me. Let me ask you about Wisconsin, Mr. Trump. I think it's something that's disgraceful. I think that you as a reporter and all of you as a reporter probably get treated a lot rougher than that on a daily basis. I have never seen anything like it. I cannot imagine how they did it. He's got a very good lawyer. They will fight it. I told him he should never settle that case. And I know that is not to my benefit. But I think when people see that tape and they take a look at that tape and they take a look at her initial statement before she knew she was on tape, take a look at that. You have to see it. You take a look at her initial statement. It sounded like she got thrown out of a building. You take a look at that and then, excuse me?
She did get bruises on her arm.
I don't know if they were bruises from that. Why? Who said they were bruises from that? How do you know those bruises weren't there before?
That's what the police
said. I don't know what the police said. How do you know those bruises weren't there before? I'm not a lawyer, but she said she had a bruise in her arm. I mean, to me, you know, if you're going to get squeezed, wouldn't you think that she would have yelled out a scream or something if she has bruises on her arm? Take a look at her facial expression. Her facial expression doesn't even change. So, you know, you say bruises on her arm. How did they get there? Who put them there? I don't know that he put them there. In any event, I'm sticking up for a person because I'm not going to let a person's life be destroyed over somebody that we have on tape, and you just take a look at what people are saying when they see that incident on tape. And no jury, in my opinion, no jury would convict a man and destroy a man's life over what you would.
What are you going to do? Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I will not let
you. She's on the rags. She's on the rags. Yeah.
Jesus, man. I you know, the thing is, I started off the show, Randy, talking about how angry I was at Hillary and all the chicanery that's going on there. But then I listen to Trump and I go, oh my God.
Or his Ann Coulter and the others, yeah.
Christ. Every fucking bottom dweller in the political system is flocking to him like flies on shit.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if I like his policies, but I played his golf course once and it was fantastic.
Yeah, and who can argue with that? ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long yet entertaining yet kind of insightful Show 144.
Well, we enjoy ourselves, that's for sure.
We always enjoy
now
ourselves.
Now it's time to say goodbye.
Well, listen, let me do this before. Ladies and gentlemen, family. We have received, by the way, we got another email from Val in Great Falls, New York. Thank you, Val. Always lovely to hear
from you. I'm glad somebody's listening.
Yeah, somebody is. We also have been posting some memes on different sites, and we've had a lot of interaction on our Facebook site. I want to thank everybody for that. Oh. Also, if you want any ideas for the show or anything like that, once you visit the Facebook site, just come on by the Bill Show on XBR. And if you have an idea for a segment or something that you want us to talk about or maybe argue with us about something, just leave a note on our Facebook site, or you can reach us at www.podbean.expatprogressive.podbean.com, or you can reach us on our website that we have not touched for way too long, thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place.
There are some things I just won't touch. Okay.
Yeah, and we're also available on Stitcher Radio.
That's right.
The place to go if you want to show that Stitcher Radio, and also one of the favorited progressive podcasts on Podbay FM, as well as of course iTunes. So that about wraps it up.
We really wanted, if you know Cenk Uygur or any of the people at TYT, we'd love to be on that network.
Yes.
If you could put in a word for us.
I don't know. I don't know if we're polished enough to do that.
I'll do Turkish for him, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I saw Lawrence of Arabia.
You did. Well, keep listening to us, and we will be back in the next couple of weeks with more fun.
No, we'll be back next week. We're doing them every week now.
We'll be back next week as New York goes into its showdown. We're going to wave to you goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, kids.
Hello, bye.
See ya.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.